All right, good to see everyone here tonight. Let's take our Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter 10 in the Word of God tonight. Hebrews chapter number 10. And can't believe it's Friday night already. Always blink and these weeks just go by. I remember one of my professors in college, my first freshman class said, blink and you'll be graduating. And that's what happened. And 4 years just came and went so fast. And so weeks like this, they come and they go. And but the Lord has certainly blessed us and given us a wonderful week. Of course, we got tonight, and we got still an abbreviated rally tomorrow morning and a good brunch meal. I'm looking forward to that. Breakfast food is my favorite genre of food, in case anyone wanted to know. You know, already about that, just so you know. If you ever, you know, want to fix me a meal or anything. I love breakfast food, and so we're really looking forward to that tomorrow morning. And just, again, looking forward to, not that. He's whispering apples and pancakes.
Yes.
We need to have an invitation right now. You know, and get right to touch. Anyways, all right, so looking forward to that. All right, listen up. I would echo what Mr. Fry said. I'm looking forward to the campfire service, and I really want to encourage you to be willing to speak a word of testimony. It's such an encouragement to my heart to hear. I hear bits and pieces. I try to ask Brother Fry every day, hey, what's going on? What are you hearing? You know, and so I know you guys have been responding this week, and so I hear bits and pieces of what's happening. But I know my heart will be encouraged, and so I want to encourage you. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:15 that by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And you may be here tonight. You may think, well, God knows that I'm thankful in my heart. Well, I hope he does, young person. But you know what? Can I kindly say, God wants to hear you say it. He wants to hear you say it. That's what the Bible says, the fruit of our lips. And if you're not willing, it's not the message, right? It's all free, so just bear with me. But if you're not willing to speak a word of testimony, I'm not saying your decision wasn't real. Okay, I want you to hear what I'm saying. If you're not willing to say something, and I'm not saying that your decision wasn't real, but I would question your commitment to your decision. If you're not willing to publicly say, man, God's been doing this in my life, all right? And so I encourage you to be quick to give a testimony, give God all the praise, and it'll be an encouragement to the rest of us. Hey, I don't know if you want, but I have prayer cards for our family that are up. I'm going to lay up here. And so if you would like to take a prayer card, if you'd like to see my beautiful wife and my other children, and, you know, you probably don't want to look at Dominic's face, but anyways. it is a picture a few years old, so he does look better, I guess. I don't know. anyways, if you would like a prayer card of our family, listen up. And my information's on the back. If you want to find us on Facebook, if you want to reach out to us, you got a prayer request or something, you want to pick up one of these after the service before you go to the campfire or tomorrow morning and pray for our family, we would certainly appreciate it. All right. Hebrews chapter. Thank you. Oh, please do that. Yes, sir. Mr. Fry is going to put them there in the back. All right, Hebrews chapter 10 in the Word of God, Hebrews chapter number 10. And let's read verse number 37, or I will read it and you follow along. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 37. The Bible says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Yet a little while. Yet a little while. And he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Now, person, tonight's message is not so much, I wouldn't call it really a heavy conviction of sin message, although God can certainly do that. I wouldn't even call it a surrender your life to Jesus message. That was more so last night. Again, although the application for that certainly is there tonight, okay? Tonight's message is more so what I would call a motivation message. I'm preaching tonight on this subject, a simple message entitled, It's Gonna Happen. It's Gonna Happen. Let's pause and let's ask for the Lord's help tonight. Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you so much for each one that's under the shed tonight and the work that you have done in our hearts this week. And Lord, my heart's been encouraged, and I thank you for that you're not done working. You're not done calling young men and women, Lord, to be saved or to serve you. And Lord, thank you for your grace and the responses that have happened this week. Lord, do it once again, once more tonight. Lord, help all of us to once again live in the reality of your imminent return. And Lord, may that motivate us to whatever it is that needs to motivate us to tonight. And so, Lord, fill me, use me, hide me behind the cross. May you be exalted, for you alone are worthy. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Some of you guys have seen me this week, maybe wearing some Chicago Cubs gear. So I grew up in Illinois, and I enjoy watching baseball, and I'm a Chicago Cubs fan. And some of you may remember, especially some of you guys that like to watch baseball, that in 2016, the unthinkable happened. That which had not happened for over a century. The Chicago Cubs actually won the World Series. Yes, it happened. I saw it in my lifetime, okay? And so anyways, as you probably, again, if you weren't really watching baseball, you didn't notice this, all right? But I'm going to tell you what was happening. So during that entire postseason, Chicago Cubs fans, whether it was at Wrigley Field when they were playing at home or whether it was on the road, because Cubs fans travel very well, all right, wherever it was at, they would have, the fans would have this particular sign. And all through that postseason, and it was a little blue sign. It had white letters, and it simply said this: "It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen." Everywhere you went, you saw these signs: "It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen." What were they saying? They were saying, "It's gonna happen. The Cubs are finally gonna break this curse, right? This drought of over 100 years. It had been 1908 since they last won the World Series. It had been 1945 since they last been in the World Series." And so there was a lot of hype. There was a lot of optimism. There was a lot of like, "I can't believe we're going to see this actually take place. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen." And wouldn't you know, it actually did. Miracles still do occur, okay? And God, I said a little extra prayer that night. And the Lord was able, I know it was the Lord. But anyways, the Cubs won the World Series, okay? And can I say, though, tonight, that much more certain than the Chicago Cubs winning the World Series, or any team winning any type of championship, is the truth that Jesus is coming again. You see, it's going to happen for a sports team is a wishful hope. It's a dare-to-dream belief that's really not based on anything except maybe their performance that year, but there's no guarantee. Again, there was no guarantee in 2016 as those Cubs fans were holding up those signs, "It's going to happen, it's going to happen." There was no guarantee that it was actually going to happen. If the Cleveland Indians would have beat them in Game 7 of the World Series, guess what? Cubs fans, we would have taken those signs, we would have thrown them in the garage, we would have thrown them in a closet, right? And we would have pulled them back out in 2017 or 2018 or whatever the next time was that the Cubs made the postseason. There was no guarantee that it was actually going to happen. But it's going to happen concerning Christ's return is the most certain fact that we could believe in this universe. It's a guarantee based on the authority of Scripture. It's a promise that's repeated over and over and over again from the God who cannot lie, the Bible says. You see, the world is in extreme chaos in our day, and it's just going to progressively get worse, as we've talked about this week. But I want you to just hold on, all right? Because it's going to happen. The kings of the earth, Psalm chapter 2, the kings of the earth are going to set themselves together against the Lord and against his anointed, and they're going to try to overthrow King Jesus, right? But God's going to say, Psalm 2:6, "Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." You see, it's going to happen. You may be defeated by sin tonight, downcast by trials, discouraged from the daily grind of life, but it's gonna happen. No matter where you're at in life tonight, if you're unsure of your eternal home, or you're struggling as a Christian, or you're doing maybe spiritually well, and you guys have made good decisions here this week at camp, and you just need to hear, "Hey, keep going, finish strong, keep looking to the Lord," right? No matter where you're at, I want all of us tonight to fix our eyes, to set our hopes on the Lord Jesus Christ, to fix our eyes on the one who is right now, spiritually, the Bible says, seated far above all principalities and powers and everything that's under heaven, right? Spiritually, God has already exalted Christ in that way, but who will soon return physically to manifest that. You see, along with love, you know, the Bible says, again, that that's the greatest command, right? To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The Bible says that we're not to leave our first love, right? Along with love, I believe that there is no greater motivation that we could have to believe right, to live right, to serve right, to deal with sin, to surrender our lives to God, than knowing that yet a little while, just a little while, and he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. Friends, it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. I want to show you a couple things tonight, all right, concerning this reality of Christ's return. Number one, if you're taking notes, there's simply what I call the truth of Christ's return. The truth of Christ's return. Again, we've already kind of talked about it this week. Truth is a funny word to many people these days. It's a word that has a very relative meaning. I don't think that we've said this phrase yet this week, but there's a kind of a buzz phrase that maybe you see it on social media or you hear on television or something, and that kind of buzz phrase is, you do you, right? You guys ever heard that, okay? Anybody ever heard that? No? Okay, there we go. A few more hands, all right? And they said, you do you. You know, you just whatever makes you feel good, whatever you want to eat, apples and pancakes, you know, whatever you do you, right? And seriously, that's what people are saying today. And so truth is kind of this relative term. And again, we've already talked about the other day how people hate the idea of absolute truth. The Bible says in Isaiah 59 that truth is fallen in the street. Now, that was talking about Israel's day, that in Israel's day, people didn't really believe God's law anymore, and truth had fallen in the street. But I can't think of a more accurate description of what's going on in the year 2026, all right, not only in our country, but around the world, that truth has fallen in the street. You see, everybody has his own opinion about everything under the sun. But understand this, remember this phrase, you're entitled to your own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own truth. I want you to remember that. Because everybody says, well, again, I can have my opinion, and I believe this. Sure, you're entitled to your own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own truth. You see, there's one truth, and it's God's truth. There's one truth, and it's the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, the truth of His second coming is something that is very, very, very clear in Scripture. Even a casual perusing of the Bible would tell someone that Jesus is coming again, whether it's the Old Testament, whether it's the New Testament. Let me give you a few verses here, again, because I want you to see that this is repeated over and over and over again. Matthew 24, verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. John chapter 14 and verse number 3, Jesus said, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Remember in Acts chapter 1, verse number 11, the Bible says that Jesus is ascending back to heaven. Of course, he's just risen again, right? About 40 days or so that he was on earth after his resurrection, and he's been he's appeared to his disciples just a few times, and he's been teaching them things. He gives them the Great Commission, and the Bible says he's standing on the Mount of Olives, and he is ascending back, and the disciples are kind of standing there like mouth wide open, you know, and you know what, you would be too if you saw Jesus going up in the clouds back to heaven. And like, whoa, what a sight, you know. And the Bible says in Acts 1 verse number 11, the angel talks to the disciples. He says, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3, verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Again, the word of God says in Revelation chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, Revelation 1, 7 and 8, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Lord Almighty. Again, you see, when he died on Calvary, that was not the end of Jesus. When he rose again the third day, that was not the end of Jesus. When he ascended back to heaven, that was not the last that the world will hear from King Jesus. Jesus Christ in person is the eternal God. The prophecies in the Old Testament concerning his first coming were fulfilled to the T. And you can take it to the bank that the prophecies in the Bible concerning his second coming will also be fulfilled to the very last jot and tittle, all right? Listen, we live in a world full of lies. But also, can I say, full of, I'll describe it as ugly truth. What do I mean by that? Death and disease and destruction and natural disasters and tragic accidents. Yes, in this world of brokenness, this is the hope that we need to constantly keep before us. This is the assurance that changes everything. That Jesus is coming again. He is coming to fix it all. He is coming to restore all things as they should be. One Bible teacher said this. He said, Bible teaching about the second coming of Christ was once thought of as doomsday preaching. You know, the old fire and brimstone and judgment. And again, there is an aspect of that, okay? But this man saying that the second coming of Christ, it was once only thought of as doomsday preaching. But he says this, but not anymore. It is the only ray of hope that shines as an ever-brightening beam in a darkening world. Another person said this. They said, to me, the second coming is the perpetual light on the path which makes the present bearable. I never lay my head on the pillow without thinking that perhaps before the morning breaks, the final morning may have already dawned. I never begin my work without thinking that he may interrupt my work and begin his own. This is now his word to all believing souls, till I come. We are not looking for death. We are looking for him. Till I come. We're not looking for death. We're not looking, as one person said, for the undertaker. We're looking for the upper taker, right? That is how imminent the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is. Listen, truth is not dependent or decided. It's not dependent on or decided by what the majority thinks or wants. Truth is determined by the decree of Almighty God. What he says will go and will be. And he has decided that his son, who already came to earth once, is coming back to claim his own, to judge the wicked, yes, and to set up a new heaven and earth that will reign forever and ever. Young person, it's gonna happen. It is true. As sure as you're sitting here tonight, July 17th, 2026, as sure as your name is what it is, Jesus Christ is coming back. Number one, there's the truth of Christ's return. Secondly, there is the timing of Christ's return. The timing of Christ's return, all right? So there are two different aspects, we could say, of the timing of Christ's return, and then one reality about both of those aspects, all right? So I'm going to give you two different aspects about Christ's return and one reality about the timing of both of those, all right? So the first aspect is his coming in the, what we call the rapture, okay? That's the first aspect. Now, you say, Brother Will, where does the Bible use the term rapture? Well, if you go and try to look in your Bible tonight, you're going to be looking for a long time because the Bible, not one time, specifically uses the word rapture. But the idea is certainly prominent, okay? And there's several passages where we get this idea, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, get it here, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. That's where we get the word rapture, a catching away, right? We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, not on the earth, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Again, this truth that he is going to appear in the clouds and all those in Christ, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, right? Man, what a sight that's going to be to see. I think this is all going to happen very quickly, all right? I don't think we're going to have time to rush to the cemetery and see, you know, grandma and grandpa and uncle and aunt and your friends rising again. Well, that'd be pretty cool, all right? But the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up. We'll be caught away to meet Jesus in the sky. 1 Corinthians 15 is another passage that gives evidence to this reality. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. All right, that doesn't mean we're going to take a nap. You see that in the New Testament? It's talking about death. Okay? We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Again, in the rapture, all right, we believe that the Lord will appear in the air to catch his bride, the true church, all believers in Christ, to catch them away, to take them out of this earth before the tribulation period. If you want to look or study more about that, you can jot down 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That is also some verses there that talk about, I believe, talk about the Holy Spirit being removed from this earth, and which the Holy Spirit lives in us, right? And so we would be removed from this earth before the man of sin is revealed. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Okay, listen, young person. There is nothing on earth that needs to happen before the rapture takes place. There's nothing else that needs to happen before the rapture takes place. That's why we say the truth of Christ's coming, it is imminent. It could take place before I'm done preaching. It could take place before we have that great brunch tomorrow morning, all right? And by the way, don't be disappointed, because if you know Christ, we're not going to be thinking about that when we're in the air face-to-face with our Savior, all right? It is imminent. But the second aspect of his coming, okay, second aspect, is his actual physical return to this earth at the end of the tribulation period to set up his millennial kingdom. And I'm not going to go into a lot of depth about that, all right? If you want to read about that, Revelation chapter 19 will be a good chapter to read. In Revelation, again, it talks about all the judgments that are going to be upon this earth, the vial judgments, the trumpet judgments, the seal judgments. It's going to be a terrible time to be on planet Earth. All right, praise the Lord. I believe that we are not going to be here. God has not appointed us to wrath. Okay, he's going to deliver us from that. That's my person. That's what I believe. Okay, that scripture teaches. All right, but it's going to be a terrible time upon this earth. And after all these judgments are being poured out, the Bible says that a third of the world's population will eventually perish. They're going to die. Right? There's going to be disease. There's going to be I think war. There's just going to be pestilence. There's going to be natural disasters like never before, right? There's going to be so much stuff that's going on. It's going to be a terrible time. And at that time, at the end of that time period, that 7-year tribulation period, I believe that King Jesus is going to return. Here's another passage. Zechariah 14 also talks about this. Zechariah chapter 14. And in Zechariah 14, the Bible says that Christ is going to come back and physically stand on the Mount of Olives. Remember, that's what Acts chapter 1 said, too. Acts chapter 1, the angel said, this same Jesus, which you've seen go into heaven, shall so come in like manner, right? And so he's going to come, Zechariah chapter 14, he's going to stand on the Mount of Olives. The Bible says there's going to be an earthquake, and he is going to walk down the Mount of Olives. In 2022, I was in Israel, and I stood on the Mount of Olives, and I was trying to picture this, right? And man, what a sight it was. I wish all of you guys could be there, okay? He's going to walk down the Mount of Olives. He's going to walk through the Eastern Gate, which the Palestinians and the Muslims, they have filled the Eastern Gate, by the way. The Eastern Gate is all, you can't walk through it today. It's all concrete filled, right? I'll tell you what, that's not going to stop Jesus. He's going to walk right through the Eastern Gate, and he is going to set up his millennial kingdom. He's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years, right? He is coming back. And so, a lot more could be said about that, but I'm just giving you kind of a 30,000-foot overview, all right? A lot more could be said. Those are the two aspects, okay? First of all, in the rapture, and then coming physically to earth, all right? Here is the one reality about the timing of both of those, all right? You ready for it? Ready for it? It's very profound. The time is soon. The time is soon. Is it really, Brother Will, I thought you were going to say it's like, next year, or, you saw something in the Bible, like your next book is going to be, Jesus coming back in 2027. No. But I know this. I know the time is soon. The time is drawing near. The time is one day closer than it was yesterday. The hourglass of history is running down, and all things are moving to God's grand conclusion. Soon, and very soon, we are going to see the King. Listen to what the Bible says, James 5, verse number 8, James 5, 8. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. In Revelation chapter 22, last chapter in all the Bible. Now listen, if God says something one time, it's good enough. But it's almost like the Lord wanted us to not miss this. He's like, hey, listen, I'm trying to tell you this. Listen, I want to make sure that you're living your life in light of this reality. Because in the last chapter of all the Bible, in Revelation 22, Jesus Christ says, not once, not twice, Jesus says 3 times, you can look at it later, he says, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me. Now, if you have a Bible, I want you to take it and go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. All right? Again, we're talking about the timing of Christ's return. And I'm not a prophet like that. I'm not going to say it's next year or 10 years or 50 years. But I do know this. I know it's soon. And when I see what's going on in the world, I'm just saying, lift up your eyes. Our redemption is drawing nigh. And you might say, well, Brother Will, didn't like every generation, hasn't every generation thought that Jesus could come back in their lifetime? Didn't the Apostle Paul think that? Like, didn't all the Christians and all the centuries think that Jesus could come back in their lifetime? Yeah, they probably did. All right? They probably did. And so I think that's the point. I think the point is that every Christian, we need to live this way. But I'm just telling you, when I see what the Bible says, what Jesus said, and when I see, and we're not going to get into all the political stuff and what's going on in the Middle East, but I'm telling you, if you guys start paying attention, if you start reading your Bible, what's going on, happening in the Middle East, and all the peace talks and all these things, I'm just telling you, what I see, it's like, I think it could be my lifetime. I'm looking at my eyes. I don't know if we're going to be here much longer. Okay? Look at Matthew chapter 24. Look at what it says. Matthew 24. This is referred to as the Olivet Discourse because, again, Jesus is on the Mount of Olives as he is telling his disciples these things. Matthew 24 and verse number 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Stop right there. Okay? So first of all, we got, like, turmoil among nations. Nation rising against nation. Okay? That's always been happening in the history of nations, okay? Because of the evil heart of man. But what I want you to see with all these things is I think that we're seeing an intensifying or an accelerating of these things. Okay? So that's happening. And then he says, they'll deliver you up and be afflicted and killed. And again, Christians all over this world, all right, are being persecuted, being delivered up. Okay? Many false prophets are on the scene today. Many false prophets are deceiving a lot of people. That, again, is only intensifying, okay? Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. There is a lot of indifference and apathy among Christians today because we have so much iniquity abounding. It's so available. Again, we live in the internet age. And sometimes I think, young person, that God didn't intend for us to have all this information at one time. I really think that. And this is part of the destruction of the world, all right? That's a whole other subject. But there's so much, and Christians, we're being desensitized, or we're being lulled to sleep, and we're just apathetic. That's happening, okay? So what I'm saying is that all these signs, they're intensifying. Okay, let's pick it up. Let's see, what do I want to read? You can read all this later, but let's read verse 32. Verse 32, okay? Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, so all the things Christ has been talking about, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. He's talking to the disciples. He says, listen, guys, listen, this is not rocket science, right? You can see when the trees are putting forth their leaves, and you can see when a plant is starting to bloom, and if you see that, you know that, well, there's going to be, you know, spring's just around the corner, or that tree's going to start producing fruit, right? The harvest is about to come in this year. And he says, listen, the same thing. When you see these things happening, know that it's near. It's even at the door. And so what's the reality we have to remember? It's soon. It's soon. Yet a little while. Just a little while. And he that shall come will come. And he will not tarry. Do you remember, you guys are grown out of the age. All right, I think most of you have grown out of the age by now. But remember when you were smaller, like maybe your parents had a vacation planned or something, and or they told you, you know, hey, today we're gonna go get ice cream, we're gonna go mini putt, we're gonna go bowl, you know, something that's like, oh, that's a, you know, my little guy who's 7 years old right now. That he's all about every day he wants to go mini putt and go karts, like every single day. He doesn't understand that we have to pay money every time, okay? But he's just like, that's so cool to him right now. And so if we told him, or maybe you can remember when you were younger, if your parents are like, hey, we're going to do something special today, or maybe you got a vacation plan, and in your little mind, it's like, well, let's walk out the door. We're ready to go, right? Let's go. If they tell you we're going today, it's like, okay, you're getting your shoes on, and you're ready. And maybe your mom or dad has to be like, well, no, it's soon, but we got a few hours still, but it'll be later today. But in your little mind, it's like, it's right now. A couple years ago, my parents celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary, and so we planned a trip to the Outer Banks of North Carolina. My mom said she wanted to go to the beach house and rent a beach house and be right on the ocean, and I said, I'm not going to complain, and that's fine if that's what you want. So anyways, all my parents and my siblings, we went to the Outer Banks. But anyway, telling my little guy that, and this is something we had to plan for about a year. You know, we had to save up, and we had to clear our schedules, and you got to plan for this. But telling my little guy that, all he could talk about every day, when are we going to the beach house? When are we going to the beach house? When are we going to the beach house, right? It's like he had his little, floaties and inflatables and everything all packed, right? His little flip-flops, and he was ready to go. And he'd say, are we going soon? And we'd say, yeah, it's soon. You know, in my mind, it's still 8 months, but I'd say, it's getting closer. It's getting closer. Yeah, it's soon. But again, in his mind, it's like, it's right now. It's going to happen right now. It's going to be soon. Listen, we as God's children, hopefully that helps us understand. We as God's children, we wonder, when's the end of all things going to be? When is Jesus coming back? When is our great Heavenly Father going to take us home to be with Himself? And that Heavenly Father, in all of His perfect wisdom, just tells His children, it's soon. It's getting closer. It's getting closer. Soon, right? He alone knows if that means that it's days or months or years or... But in the light of eternity, young person, listen, in the light of eternity, it's very soon. Very soon. This is not original with me. But I liked the idea so much. I heard of somebody else doing it. I liked the idea so much that I ordered an hourglass off of Amazon. You can get an hourglass that looks pretty nice. And it looks like it's like several hundred dollars and it's like 20 bucks, okay? And so, but I ordered an hourglass. And in our house, I have a small office, and I got that hourglass, and I put it in my office. So not every day when I'm home, but a lot of times when I go into my office and I sit down to study or to do something else, I turn that hourglass over. Say, why? You only got an hour to study? No, that's not the point. The point is that I turn that hourglass over, and every time I do and I look at it, I look for those little grains of sand that are going through. I always think to myself, my life is slipping away. It's slipping away. Now again, I know, because I remember, it wasn't that long ago that I was sitting where you guys are sitting. And I know you're thinking like, my whole life's ahead of me. You're trying to scare us tonight. My whole life is ahead of me. And if Jesus tarries, then I would pray that God would give you guys a lot of years ahead of you. What I'm trying, if somehow I could go back and tell my 18-year-old self that was coming out of high school, and then tell my 22-year-old self that was coming out of college, if somehow I could go back, I would try to like grab myself by the throat and be like, Will, it's going to go by really fast. Don't waste a day. Don't waste a day. I've wasted a lot of days. But I want to always, I ask God to help me. I want God to help you guys. I want us to always keep in mind the brevity of life, that our life is slipping away. Some of you are going to turn 18 soon, or 17, or 16, whatever. You'll never be that age you were before. You can't go back. You can't change it. Right? It's passing by. And Jesus is coming soon. And so what's the truth? What's the reality? What must be done for God must be done now, young person. Now. because we're not guaranteed of tomorrow, and we can't change the past. So we have this present day. When you wake up, you should think, I got this present day. I want to do God's will. I want to obey God. I want to make the most impact I can upon the lives around me, because I'm not guaranteed of tomorrow. I think maybe God will give me 30, 40, 50, 60 more years upon this earth, but I don't know that. Again, I think Jesus is coming back before then. Okay? And so what must be done for God must be done now. What did Jesus say? John 9, verse number 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Don't waste your life. Don't waste any day. Don't waste a single day. Get up every day. I'm not saying you can't have fun. You know what? Serving God's the most fun you could ever have in the world. Okay? All right? But get up every day. Say, God, what do you want me to do today? Lay up treasure in heaven, because we only have so many days to do so. One person said this. Maybe you can write this down and try to live by it. They said, live as if Jesus died yesterday, rose this morning, and is coming back tomorrow. We ought to live as if Jesus died yesterday, so it's fresh on our minds, right? That impact, right? As if he rose this morning, and he's coming back tomorrow. And so we got only a short time to make a difference. Now let me give you number three. I got a few minutes here, and then we'll close. Number one, there's the truth of Christ's return. Secondly, there's the timing. Again, there's the rapture. There's his actual physical return to set up his kingdom. But the reality is that it's soon. And number three, there is the tragedy of Christ's return. The tragedy of Christ's return. Again, obviously for a Christian, we've been talking about the hope and the joy, that the expectation that Christ is coming back and what that does for us. But young person, don't forget, there is a tragic side of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, it will be tragic for all of those who are outside of Jesus, don't know him personally. Just as the great flood came in Noah's day and all those outside the ark perished, so everyone outside the ark of Jesus will not be saved, but will suffer the eternal wrath of God. And Revelation tells us, it says, I think it's Revelation 14, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong on that. But there is a phrase that always jumps off the page at me that says that sinful mankind, that wicked mankind, that unrepentant mankind will drink of the wrath of God, our King James says, the wrath of God without mixture. You know what that means? Undiluted. The undiluted wrath of God upon sinful mankind who does not know Christ, who continues to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it will be the most dreadful and the destructive time that this world has ever seen. But for those who don't personally know Christ, the just and the holy wrath of God will only continue in the eternal lake of fire. Matthew 25:41, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Revelation 20, verse number 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Again, I want to ask you tonight, do you know that 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 you're saved, that you're born again, that you're in Jesus, that your sins have been forgiven, that you're trusting him alone? Do you know that for sure? If you do know that for sure, can you think of someone tonight that doesn't know that for sure? A loved one, a neighbor, a school, someone you go to school with, a co-worker, for those of you guys that work, right? Someone that doesn't know Christ. What ought this truth to do to us? It ought to motivate us to go back and to share God's truth with them, to be the witness that God wants us to be. For us as believers, the imminent return of Christ can be tragic in the sense of him meeting us when we are not right with him. Again, none of us are perfect. I'm almost done. Hang with me. Almost done. None of us are perfect. But how ashamed would you be to meet Jesus tonight? How ashamed, I ask myself the same thing. How ashamed would I be if I met Jesus tonight? How many things have we left undone? How many hours have we wasted on ourselves? How many friends and loved ones have not been witnessed to? How much of our service for God would stand the fire and come out as gold, silver, and precious stones? 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Romans 14:12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Young person, one of the things that motivates me, that helps me, that challenges me, that prods me to keep going on, because I'm just being transparent. Yeah, I'm a preacher, but I got bad days, and I got struggles, and I have times where I don't want to pray, and I don't want to read my Bible, I don't want to do anything. I just want to sit at home, you know, drink a cup of coffee, read a good book. That's what I like to do, right? I have struggles. And one of the things that helps me when I kind of get that way, and I can tell that I'm not as close to Jesus as I should be, is to continually go back to this thought of, I'm going to stand before God. And all the excuses and all of the justifying my sin, and all those things are going to pass away. Me and God. I'm going to give an account of my life to God. That's what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 5:10 would be another verse to write down. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. We're going to stand before God. I'm not trying to scare you tonight, but I am, by the grace of God, trying to help you understand that there is a soberness about life. Life's not all, I'm all for having a good time, right? But life isn't all, let's just have the most fun that we can, and let's just laugh with our friends all the time, and I'm all for having fun. But what I see among a lot of young people today, there's a lot of immaturity, a lot of just living for right now, living for the world. How much fun can we have? I want you guys to understand there's a soberness about life. You get one life. That's it. And none of us know how long we have. And as we talked about last night, our life is not our own. We're bought with a price. And so that life, we need to wake up every day and have a seriousness, have a soberness to our mind. And we're focused on God and doing His will. And again, by the way, if you do that, don't worry about not having fun. You're going to have the most fun you've ever had. I travel crazy hours. I'm going to drive 10 hours home tomorrow. All right? Dom's going to be sleeping the whole time. He's not going to help me stay away, you know? All right? So I'm going to drive 10 hours home tomorrow. I'm going to be home on Sunday. And then either probably Monday night, overnight through Tuesday morning, I'm going to drive 11 hours to North Dakota because I started church camp out there. And I'm telling you what, their days are long. It's the most fun in the world to me. I love it. I love it. A week like this, I love it. Absolutely. You don't have more fun than I do. You can have equal fun. Equal fun is fun. But you don't have more fun than I do when I'm preaching a week like this. This is what God made me to do. And I just absolutely love it. Love it. All right? And wherever God has you, you give your life to God, you have a soberness about you, it's going to be the most fun you've ever had in your life. Okay? It's going to happen, young person. I don't know when, but it's going to happen. He's coming back soon. Are we ready to meet him tonight in salvation and then in surrender and in service? Oh, live. Somehow. Ask God tonight. Ask God as we go to quiet reflection time in just a second. Ask God to impress upon your mind and your heart just this sense of his return, that you would continually live in the reality of his soon return. Father, thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you for your word. Yet a little while. Just a little while. And he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Lord, help us all to be impressed with your soon return and to live our lives in that reality.